Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in the Gospel, we saw Jesus driving away the devil with his temptations, armed only with the Word of God and with his perfect faith in his Heavenly Father. Today in the Gospel, we see Jesus casting out another demon, actually more than one. The demon who was demonizing the daughter of the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus was the easy one to get rid of. It's the other ones with whom Jesus took more time. When the demons used to take possession of a person's body, especially at the time of Jesus, it was easy to see the devil attacking the human race, hating the human race, trying to injure us. It's when he attacks more subtly that he poses a bigger threat. Like when he tempts us to pride. He doesn't come out and show himself and make a person's body thrash around. No, it's much more subtle than that. Or when he tempts us to ignore the Word of God, or to doubt God's care and grace, then he doesn't show himself and we don't see the devil there turning us inward, turning us away from God. But he's there nonetheless. Those demons do their work in secret, without anyone even knowing they're there. They were around at the time of Jesus, and they're around still today. In the Holy Spirit's account of Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman, he fights for us against those very demons. Let's review the story again. Jesus left the land of the Jews and chose to take some time in the region of Tyre and Sidon to the north of Israel where the Gentiles lived. Why did he leave Israel and go to Gentile territory? We aren't told of anything else that Jesus did there except for what you heard today in Matthew's account, which shows us that at least the enduring reason that Jesus went there was so that he could have the very encounter that he had in our gospel, and so that we could know about it today. His reputation preceded him as he went up there to Tyre and Sidon. St. Mark tells us in his gospel that Jesus went to a house in that region where he tried to keep his presence a secret, but it was impossible. Word got out that he was there, and word got to this Canaanite woman whose daughter was suffering from a demon affliction of some kind. Other word had clearly gotten out too, that Jesus was the Son of David, which meant absolutely nothing to the Gentiles because they weren't descendants of Israel at all, much less descendants of David. They were not God's chosen people. They were not the Jews, they were not the ones who had the promises of God's divine help, and yet word still got out that Jesus, the Son of David, the Lord, had come to that region, and that somehow this Messiah of the Jews had come to save both Jews and Gentiles from the power of the devil. Just that word getting out, reaching the Canaanite woman's ears, was enough for the Holy Spirit to spark faith in her heart so that she sought Jesus for help. And she found him. She cried out for help, for mercy from Jesus the Lord, the Son of David, for her daughter who was demon-possessed. And Jesus didn't respond at all. It doesn't say that he ignored her or pretended not to see her there. He may have been staring right at her the whole time she was crying out for mercy. He just wasn't saying anything. How strange. But she kept pleading for her daughter, and eventually, however long this went on, the disciples of Jesus couldn't take it anymore. She kept calling out for help. Jesus kept not saying anything. And they thought that was awkward. They thought that it was better to send her away than to have her keep crying out with Jesus apparently unwilling to answer. Send her away, they said, but he didn't send her away. If he had, that would have been the end of it, but he didn't. Instead, he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As I said, this woman and her daughter, like you and I, were Gentiles. We didn't have all of the promises that the Jews had of divine help. There used to be something very special about being a Jew, being a member of the house of Israel. Up until the time of Christ's death on the cross, Israel was that chosen people of God with the Word of God and the promises of God and the sonship and the eternal inheritance in God's eternal kingdom. But you know that the Old Testament also spoke of the Messiah, the Christ, as being the light of the Gentiles, who would bring the Gentiles into the house of the New Testament Israel, not by their bloodline, but by faith in the Christ. And here it was Jesus, after all, who left the land of Israel to enter the territory of these Gentiles for no other reason, apparently, but to speak to them. Now, if there were any sinful pride in this Canaanite woman, she would have gotten angry at Jesus' reply and walked away. If she had had any sense of entitlement before God, she would have given Jesus an earful. How dare you make a distinction between the Jews and us Gentiles? How dare you not give me a handout? Can't you see I'm here? But no, that's the common reaction among people today, but not of this dear woman. Hers was the opposite. Instead of running away, instead of getting angry, she fell down at Jesus' feet. She worshiped him, as the New King James Version puts it. Lord, help me. She sees indications on the outside that Jesus may not be willing to help her, but she also sees that he hasn't sent her away. He has come to her land, to her country. He hasn't told her no to her request. And the word that she has heard about Christ is still sustaining her faith that he will be gracious to her and have mercy on her. Why? Because she deserves it somehow? Jesus' next words would address that particular demon. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, presumably the children of Israel were the children at the Lord's table, the children of the house, while the Gentiles were the little dogs begging at the table, begging for food. Another ethnic reference. How dare he? And yet, what had Christ experienced so far in his ministry among the children, among the people of Israel? The children, the Jews, had largely rejected their Christ. If he applied the law in Jewish territory and pointed out their sins, they got angry. They eventually got so angry, of course, that they would put him up on a cross. If he said anything the Jews didn't like, the children walked away. But here he is with this supposed little dog, this Gentile woman, and she is not getting angry. She is not walking away. She is not puffed up with pride in herself or with some idea that she deserves Jesus' help. In fact, she accepts his word. And in so doing, she demonstrates more faith in Christ than anyone in Israel had. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's perfectly content to be seen as a little dog at the Lord's table. So was the psalmist, who put it in these terms: "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is upright. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." See, the psalmist never said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in you," as long as he was born to the house of Israel and isn't Gentile scum, because then it doesn't matter if he trusts in you, it's worthless. No, that's not how the psalm went. "Blessed is the man who trusts in you." And this woman did trust in the Lord God of Israel to be her Lord too, in the person of Jesus. Now that the time of testing is over, now that the woman has demonstrated the faith that God's own Spirit had created in her and shown Jesus' disciples, shown anyone else present there, shown all of us what faith looks like, in contrast with what Israel had demonstrated in the face of Jesus, now Jesus' demeanor changes and he has nothing but praise for her and divine help for her plea. "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And the demon that afflicted her daughter was forced to leave her at that very moment without any other word. This was easy. Jesus said that the demon would leave her daughter, and the demon was powerless against the divine will of Jesus. But you see, the other demons that he was fighting against with his word throughout this process, both for the woman and his disciples and for all of us. What was it that Jesus praised in that foreign woman? Well, he praised her faith, her unshakable faith, which was able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, who was happy to tempt her every step of the way to give up, not to trust in Jesus anymore, to look at herself with some pride, with some self-dignity, as not being such a bad person, as being a person who deserved Jesus' help and didn't deserve any of this treatment that he was giving her. Those demons last a lot longer than the ones who would possess the body of a person. And they afflict you, and they afflict me with temptations too. Temptations to pride, temptations to not be humble before God, but to see ourselves as being kind of worthy of his help and not liking it when he doesn't answer right away and give us the help that we want when we want it. So the devil tempts us to think that God doesn't care. And from there, he tempts us to give up on the Lord God and to go someplace else. These and other temptations are everywhere. And yet, through this simple gospel, Christ fights against those temptations for us as he teaches us humility, he teaches us his goodness, He teaches us not to give up, to keep praying, as this woman did, persistently, never giving up, never for a moment thinking, maybe he's not listening, maybe he won't help, maybe he doesn't care. Never for a moment thinking, I deserve better than this. Can you be called a little dog by the Son of God and accept it as the woman did? Because in reality, that's a compliment, in a sense, because the little dogs, who were not made in the image of God, do not willingly sin against their Creator. But you and I, who were made in the image of God, we sin against Him every day. But that's for whom Jesus came, for us sinners, for us who don't deserve His help, and yet He earned God's favor for us with His innocent life, with His innocent death. He came to help us, and He tells us that, so never doubt it for a moment. Never doubt that He's not listening or He doesn't care. Be persistent like that Canaanite woman was. Be humble like that Canaanite woman was, and imitate her faith in her love for her daughter, too. Because all of these things flowed from her faith. Persistence, humility, and love that wouldn't give up because her daughter needed Jesus' help. She teaches us to pray to Jesus for our children. Not casually, not half-heartedly, but earnestly and unceasingly. The devil wants to have them, too. But faith in Christ expresses itself in the unrelenting prayers of a parent that Christ would not let the devil have his way with our children. And Jesus' interaction with this woman shows that He is eager to hear such prayers offered up in faith. The demons are still out there, and the temptations to pride, to doubt, to self-importance, to second-guessing the will of God, they're all around us. But Christ fights for us in the gospel and through the gospel to keep us trusting in Him for deliverance from sin, death, and the power of the devil. May your faith in Christ be strengthened through today's gospel and through the sacrament so that you remain persistent in prayer, humble before God and man, and devoted to one another in love. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.